Please rise.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is taken from the epistle, not the whole epistle, beginning at verse 19, which I'll read again for our hearing. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord. With our theme this morning, through Jesus Christ, we have boldness and confidence. Please be seated. Dearest children of God, entering into the presence, of Mr. Jim Brim was never a pleasant experience. It was awe-inspiring and it was painful. Never happened to me though, but I knew many that it did happen to because they refused to listen. So let's bring it down to you, to each and every one of you. If you've ever had the opportunity to enter into the presence of a king, or a king, or a queen, or a president, we know that there is a certain etiquette that we should follow. There's a certain sense of respect that we should have. Remember, even though you may not like the president, even though you may even dislike the president, or the king, or the queen, there still must be respect. Yet there is a difference with God. When we come before God, there is no disrespect. There is no proper etiquette, if you will, because before God, you must be holy. Therefore, there's a proper state that you must be in. Because before God, anything that is unrespectful or disrespectful, that has no etiquette, that is unholy, cannot stand in his presence. Now, for our human minds, that's hard to us. It's hard for us to understand. It's hard for us to even accept. To stand before God, we must be holy. And even the smallest amount of unholiness, you are rejected, you are forbidden, actually, you are condemned. You cannot stand, you are put to death. That's rather drastic, isn't it? But God is a holy and just God. But today we hear, today in our epistle lesson we hear, that we can boldly enter into his presence. We can boldly enter with great confidence, not being afraid in any way, because we have the proper dress. We have the proper attitude. We have the one who walks with us, holding our hands and pleading for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Therefore, we can boldly enter into the holy places, as the text tells us there in verses 19 through 21. And we can enter into the holy place before God into his throne room. We can enter in through the blood of Jesus Christ. You're free, dear one. You're free to come into his presence by the gift, by certain gifts, the gift of his blood and the gift of prayer. Yes, in prayer, each and every one of you have unrestricted access to your Father in heaven. And you have this access boldly, with all confidence. You have this awesome way of reaching him. And it's called prayer. And he is listening. James tells us, you have not because you ask not. Pray, dear one. Pray to your Father in heaven. He is listening, and he will act. But remember, your prayers must be in accord with his most holy will. And as I tell our young men in confirmation class, if you're praying for the Corvette, you just may not get it because it's outside of his will. We also come in the presence of our Lord by way of his flesh. Last week, is, as you may remember, we talked about the high priest and what the high priest must do on the Day of Atonement. He must wash. He must put on the right vestments, the right clothes. He must have the right amount of blood. He must enter into the curtain a certain way with a red cord tied around his right ankle. And everything that he does before God must be done perfectly. Yet you and I, we have a greater high priest. Jesus is your great high priest. And he has done everything perfectly. He has obeyed his Father's will perfectly by dying on the cross for each and every one of you. And therefore, Jesus has given you a new way. Dear one, you have a new way to come before God, not through a man with a red cord tied around his ankle, but through a man with red blood oozing from his body, the blood of Jesus. It is by his blood that you enter to God's presence and you live. It's a new living way. It is the way of eternal life. It is the way of your living God. Dear one, this is not a future event. No, it's not a future event, though it will be. Rather, it is a present reality. On Thursday, those of you who are present for the feast, you will come into his presence. And you come here because of the blood of the Lamb that is actually served to you, his flesh and his blood, given to you for the forgiveness of your sins, for the strengthening of your faith into life and salvation. This is the new way. This is the new covenant. This is God's way. This is how he opens himself to you in prayer and in the sacraments, in the preached word, the means of grace. You have access to your Lord, dear one. You have access to him each and every Sunday or each and every time that you're here. You have access to your Lord each time you bow your knees and bow your head and close your eyes and pray to him. You have access to him in the liturgy. And yes, you have access to him in the blessed sacraments. Yet there is a second gift. There is a second gift that you hear of today in our text. Verse 21. The second gift is Jesus himself. Jesus, your great high priest. Jesus is your Lord who rules over God's house. You see, there's a difference between the old Moses, if you will. Moses was just a custodian, but Jesus is the king. He is the ruler in God's house, and therefore we are to follow our king, for we know that he is truth and he is life. Therefore, your great high priest, he enters in before his Father because he has the right to do so. And what does he do? He pleads for each and every one of us. And not only does he enter, but he enters with you. He proceeds with you at his side. And when we proceed with our Lord, there is a great sense of joy and a great sense of respect. We proceed in before our God with our Lord and Savior, and we do it with all boldness and confidence. We know that we will be accepted because we know that Jesus has been accepted. And we know that we have been sprinkled, our hearts have been sprinkled, and our conscience is now clean. You are no longer disqualified. You have been made qualified by the blood of the Lamb. Now, this sprinkling of the heart and the cleansing of the conscience is very important for us because, dear one, you must remember that you're also a sinner. You are a sinner, and I am a sinner, and we break God's law daily and much. Yet, the evil one will try to convince us that you cannot be saved, that your confession of sins will not be heard, that God does not care for you. Rather, God wants to condemn you. He wants to pollute our conscience. He wants to turn us away from God. He wants us to be an apostate, to forget about Jesus, to blame Jesus, to walk away from Him and never come back again. No, dear one, our text is clear. Your heart has been sprinkled by the blood of the Lamb. Just as the high priest would sprinkle the people with the blood of the goat, declaring to them that their sin is forgiven, you have been sprinkled with the blood of the Lamb. Your sin, all of your sins, it doesn't matter which one, all of them forgiven by the blood of the Lamb, and therefore your conscience is clean. Satan will tempt you, but Satan cannot defeat you. He cannot take your conscience and twist it and turn it and mangle it and convince you that you are not loved, that you are not forgiven. No, your conscience is clean because you have been washed. You have been washed, dear one, with pure water. Water with the Word has made you clean. Therefore, you can confidently enter into His presence through your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is clearly what the preacher of Hebrews is telling us. We are confident, confident in our common hope. We are encouraged as we persistently adhere to our confession of hope. God will be faithful. He is always faithful to us. He will always be here until the day that He comes, present to serve you, to announce to you that your sin is forgiven. He is always faithful to be here to strengthen your faith. He is always faithful to be here to announce to you that you do have life and salvation because of what He has done for you and continues to do for you. Therefore, you can rest. Each Sunday when you come here, or every Wednesday, or when we begin Advent every Wednesday evening, you can come here and rest, dear one. This is a place of rest where you come to hear what Jesus has done for you, where you come to hear about your great high priest who has shed His blood for you, and all of the issues and all of the problems and all of the suffering, you bring them here and you place them on Jesus' shoulder. And He says, give to me your burdens. Give them all to me. And what do I give to you? I give you a light yoke. I give you a light burden. For I announce to you that your sin is forgiven. I give unto you eternal salvation. I give unto you redemption. I give unto you inheritance. I give unto you eternal access to your heavenly Jerusalem, the city, the place of everlasting peace. Here, dear ones, at Zion this morning, here is the place of everlasting peace. It is here, but not yet. But here right now, since Jesus is present, here is His kingdom. Here is His peace. Here is His blood announcing to you that your sin is forgiven. And all this is done without wavering. It is all done regularly in divine service. It is all done in faith, knowing that He will keep His promise. He is the faithful one. And therefore, since He is the faithful one, He will remain in you. Therefore, dear one, be faithful unto Him and remain in Him. And know that when you remain in Him, you have life, and you have life to the abundant. As we close with the last two verses of our epistle, we see that there is words of provocation, if you will. There's the provocation, there's the exhortment, there's the encouragement to love and to good works. We are to provoke, that's the word that's actually used in the Greek. We are actually to provoke our neighbor to love and good works. We are to encourage him or her to continue to love the Lord and continue to do those good things which the Lord does through them. We are to encourage them not to neglect the faith that has been given to them. We are to encourage them not to neglect to gather here. For here in faithful participation, we are in the presence of our Lord and Savior. And therefore, we are to confidently encourage the saints, our fellow saints. We are to encourage them, yes, with the law, for we know that the law condemns us. It shows us our sins, and the law shows us that we need a Savior. And then we proclaim that Savior to them in the Holy Gospel. And what is the Gospel today? Dear ones, you have been sprinkled by the blood of the Lamb. Your conscience is clean. Your body has been washed in word and water. You are His child. There is no one that can snatch you from His loving arms. He is present to serve you in body and blood. He is present to serve you in His word. Therefore, be bold and be confident that you are His and that all of your sin, each and every one of your sins, are forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. Your great high priest now proclaims to you all of this in His holy name. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.